Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Finding your Bible, Acts chapter 8. Lots of Bible this morning. Going to start that in Acts chapter 8 as we think a little bit about Philip and his preaching with the Ethiopian eunuch. This is Acts 8. Want to start reading in verse 26. As you're turning there, let me just say how glad I am to see you today. Really pleased to see a good crowd out this morning. Know you're anxious to be about the reading and study of the Word of God. Let's just do that. Acts 8, 26, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" What prevents me from being baptized? When we have an important project, something that really matters to us, if it's not proceeding along at the pace we want, we say things like, "What's the holdup? Hey, where did we get off the rails? Why aren't we moving forward with this?" We want to move forward. We want to get it done. We want to complete it. So we are interested in identifying the obstacles in our way so that we can move them aside and progress. What's stopping us? And that's what he's asking right there. That is exactly what the Ethiopian man wants to know. What does hinder me from being baptized? What's in the way of me being a Christian? And do you see here that he's not looking to weasel out of the demands of the gospel? He's interested in becoming a Christian. Why can't I? You tell me, Philip, what's keeping me from being able to be a servant of Jesus the Christ, and I'll fix that right now, because I want to be a Christian. What's in my way? What's hindering me from being baptized? Quite frankly, I think there's a lot of people who may be asking that kind of question. That's the right attitude to have. And I think there's a lot of folks who have that particular attitude. If you come here on any kind of regular basis, you're going to hear about baptism and about salvation, about being a Christian, about Jesus the Christ, about going to heaven when you die. It's very natural for someone to say, "I didn't do that. I want to do that. I want to be part of that." But sometimes there's something in the way. There's a barrier there. There's an obstacle. Something's in between them and baptism. When I first started preaching, baptized a young lady. Afterwards, she admitted she'd waited so long to obey the gospel because she was concerned about what people would think of her when they saw her with stringy, wet hair. That wasn't a good reason to wait. But that's what was hindering her. See, sometimes people have something in the way, and maybe for whatever reason, they don't ask the question, the Ethiopian man, "What's hindering me?" Maybe they don't have enough courage, or they do not know exactly who they should talk to. Somehow, there's a hang-up, there's a concern, it's hindering them, and they're not able to articulate that or get that dealt with, and so they don't ever obey the gospel. They don't ever become a Christian. That's why this morning, I want to talk with you about making that question very personal. What's preventing you from being baptized? I'm going to deal this morning with four very common things that hinder folks from getting in the water, from being in the baptistry, from, yes, becoming a child of God. If you have never been baptized for the remission of your sins, like this Ethiopian man here, this is your sermon. This is your sermon. I want to talk with you about four reasons that keep people out of the baptistry, that prevent them from being baptized, that when you understand them, you realize very quickly, I can't let that hinder me. I can't let that prevent me from becoming a Christian today. Let's talk about what's preventing people from becoming a child of God. First and foremost on that list is the thinking that I am just not good enough. Or, going very closely with that, the thinking that there is some recurring sin in my life. There's some continuing problem there and really can't really be a Christian with that kind of thing going on in my life. And the reason people think that is why? Because when we talk about baptism, we talk about commitment. Making a commitment to the Lord. And that is certainly true in Romans chapter 6. The passage I want here as Paul talks about baptism is in Romans 6 and verse 4. In Romans 6 and in verse 4, here Paul says, Romans 6 and 4, we were buried. Romans 6, 4, we were buried with Him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And boy, that's where the downbeat is, isn't it? Going to be a new person when you're baptized into Christ. Now, verse 11, Romans 6, verse 11. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Don't present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. Present yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death unto life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Sin will have no more dominion over you. You're not under law, you are under grace. So we talk a lot about that kind of thing. Baptism begins a new life of walking in Christ Jesus and walking with Christ Jesus. But I'm afraid sometimes all that discussion about commitment may hinder people because they're thinking, oh, I don't think I can keep that commitment. You know, Jesus said that stuff about don't put your hand to the plow and then look back. I don't want to be the guy looking back, particularly if somebody has an ongoing sin, an addiction, a sinful habit, a habitual sin that is hard to overcome. This will rapidly come into play. I'm just not sure that I can live the Christian life. So I'd better not start. Is that right? You can't get baptized until you're 100% sure that you're going to be a faithful Christian. While wanting to say this morning that I appreciate people taking the commitment of Christianity seriously, I must tell you, nothing could be more wrong. If it is a requirement to become a Christian that you can guarantee the Lord, I'll never sin again, nobody could be a Christian, not ever. Look in Acts chapter 8 with me. In Acts chapter 8, the gospel's going forward in Samaria. In Acts chapter 8, here Philip is preaching the gospel in Samaria, and there's a man there, Acts 8 verse 18. He is Simon, used to make his living as a sorcerer. Acts 8, 18, he saw that the Spirit was giving through the laying on of the apostles' hands, and so he offered money, saying, Acts 8, 19, give me this power also, so anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part, neither part nor lot in this matter. Your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. I see you're in the gall of bitterness. You're in the bond of iniquity. Simon answered, pray to me, the Lord, that nothing of what you've said may come upon me. I want you to notice there, Simon hadn't been a Christian very long. Peter does not say, I'll tell you what. Question you just asked, that just shows right there, you're not a Christian. You weren't good enough to be a Christian. Look at you, what a failure you are. Your baptism's invalid. You've got no chance. You're just going to hell. Peter does not say anything like that. He says, yes, there's some wickedness here. And what he says is you need to repent of that. And you need to pray, and you can be forgiven of that. Because Jesus knows that just because we become a Christian, and just because we want to conquer sin, and just because we want to be slaves of righteousness and not slaves of sin anymore, doesn't mean we're always going to accomplish that. In 1 John chapter 2, the Scripture speaks to this. In 1 John chapter 2, notice verse 1. In 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 1, there we read 1 John 2, 1, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. That's our hope and our desire. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The Lord knows how this is going to go, how we are in the Christian life. Maybe the passage we need here is Acts 22:16. In Acts 22, And in verse 16, as Paul reviews his conversion, please notice what he was told about baptism. This was a man who had persecuted the church, helped Christians be put to death. Think about sin in his life. Look at Acts 22:16. Ananias told him, "Why do you wait?" Acts 22:16. "Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Wash away your sins, calling on his name. Think of that imagery, wash away. No one says, "Oh, I'm just too dirty to take a bath. You know what I got to do? I got to get cleaned up and then I can get in the bathtub." You take a bath to get cleaned up. Thus, no one in the same way should say, "I'm just too sinful to be baptized." You're baptized to be cleansed of your sins. That's what baptism does. If you're waiting until you've got all sin under your control before you're baptized, you're not ever going to be baptized, because the old man is always going to be there fighting against us, working against us, always trying to get us back into the old ways. That's an ongoing struggle. Can't let that keep us from doing what's right. And maybe what I ought to add here is that when we take this route of, "I'm going to clean myself up before I become a Christian," what we do is we cut ourselves off from the very things that do help us get our life under Christ's control. Like the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ and the power of God's Word and all that God does in His providence to help us defeat temptation. All of that and more is available to the Christian as we walk with the Lord. But when we're outside of Christ and we say, "You know what, once I break sin's hold on my life, then I'll be baptized," what we're really saying is, "I can do this on my own." But you can't do it on your own. If you could, you would have, and you'd already have been baptized. Remember, there's commitment here. But the commitment is not, "I'm going to live sin-free." The commitment is, "I'm going to live Jesus' way. And then when I don't live Jesus' way, I'm going to ask Jesus to forgive me, and I'm going to go back to living Jesus' way." That's the commitment we're making. Not that we'll never, ever sin again. Don't let the devil talk you out of baptism by telling you you're not good enough. Of course you're not good enough. That's why you need to be baptized. Maybe we think as well, as we're thinking about these reasons people give not to be baptized, maybe we ought to say a little bit about this hypocrite problem. Look in Luke 18. I wonder if there's anything that keeps more people from the Lord than hypocrites. In Luke 18, look at verse 9. In Luke 18 and in verse 9, there Jesus tells this parable to some who trusted in themselves they were righteous, treated others with contempt. Two men, Luke 18:10. Now, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you, I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." Oh, you know, that image is just revolting to everybody. No one likes someone who comes in here and worships with all this great zeal and energy, but then when you see them out in the world in the week, they're living just like everybody else, just as sinful as anybody else. Maybe even in the same way, nobody much cares for someone who comes here and they don't worship. They don't participate. They're sleeping through church. They're not paying attention. They say, "Oh yeah, I love the Lord." It's over. But by their worship activity, it says they don't much care. That kind of hypocrisy, whether it's out there, whether it's in there, that's revolting to everyone. In fact, in 1 Timothy 5, look at 1 Timothy 5, verse 24. There, Paul tells us what we need to know about hypocrites. In 1 Timothy 5 and 24, understand clearly, Paul says, 1 Timothy 5:24, "The sins of some men are conspicuous, and they go before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later." What's the point of that? God knows all the hypocrites. God knows all the hypocrites. God will take care of the hypocrites. And maybe the second thing you need to know about that is there are hypocrites in every part of life. We don't let hypocrisy in other venues, other spheres of life disturb us all. I don't know anybody who says, "You know what, I just can't go to the Ranger games anymore because there are people down there who are hypocrites." What are you talking about? Well, you know what? Not everybody goes to a Ranger game is there to see baseball, and they're out of the love of the sport. Some of those people, they're just there to drink beer. Some of those people just there to CNBC and make business contacts. Some of those people there to get a date, to meet men or to meet women. I mean, they just don't even care about the game. They don't even watch. They just talk during the whole game. I just can't be there anymore. Hypocrites down there. There's a lot of reasons not to go to the Ranger game. And maybe you don't go to Ranger games if you love baseball anymore. Wow, it's gotten rough out there. But I don't know anybody who says no to Ranger tickets because of all those hypocrites there. What about at work? Everybody in your workplace care about the customer, making the best product possible, representing the company in the best possible way. Some of the people in your workplace, you know this to be true. Some of them there just get a check. They do as little as they possibly can do. Just trying to get some money in their pocket. They don't care about anything or anybody. Oh, hypocrites, I'm not going to work anymore. Hypocrites down there. What if you go to the gym? Everybody in the gym there for fitness. No. Some people are in the gym, why? Scoping out the girls, scoping out the guys. Some people are there because the doctor made them go. Some people are there, they don't care about fitness at all. They just want to look good, so forth. Nobody says, not going to the gym anymore, a bunch of hypocrites down there. Okay, now a bunch of people are going to say that. That's the new excuse not to go work out. Nobody uses those kinds of excuses in any other aspect of life. We realize that anywhere we go, anywhere we interact with people, there are going to be people who are duplicitous, people who are deceitful, people who have second agendas, people who are not what they appear to be, and yet we continue to function everywhere, and then all of a sudden here, oh my, hypocrites! Remember what 1 Timothy 5 says. God knows about those hypocrites. God's going to take care of those hypocrites. You need to take care of you. That's who you need to focus on. Look in Acts chapter 2 with me, the very first time the gospel was preached. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 40, huge crowd of people assembled to hear Peter preach the gospel. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, as Peter's concluding his sermon, he says, in Acts 2 and verse 40, with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Were there hypocrites in that audience? I certainly expect that there were. Because there were people in that audience. But Peter does not say, well, these Jews who claim to love God, they crucified the Messiah, they're ruining it for all of us. He says, there are people doing wrong. You start doing right. That's what Peter says. Stop worrying about others. Don't focus on others. Don't think about others. Think about yourself. What does God expect of me? What do I need to do? Have I been obedient to Jesus? One writer said, hypocrites are pretty small individuals. And if you can hide behind them, you must be even smaller. And I think that's right. Hypocrisy in others cannot be used as an excuse for me not to obey Jesus Christ and be baptized. In the same way, just because I'm a little nervous about baptism is not a reason not to be baptized. If you, someone asks you, now what do I need to do to be a Christian? What do we tell them? Well, Mark's going to preach. There's going to be an invitation song. Sing that invitation song. You need to walk all the way down front, in front of more than 300 people. When we stop singing, the preacher or an elder will ask you to stand, and in front of 300 and something people, you will speak and announce your allegiance to Jesus Christ and your belief that Jesus is God's Son. That's called confession. And then, in front of all of those people, more than 300 people, you'll be immersed in water in front of everybody, and everybody will see it. What do you think happens next? Since the fear of crowds, the fear of speaking in public, the fear of being in front of people, that's always one of the number one fears in every phobia poll that they take. So you'll say, oh, I don't think I can be a Christian. Because they're afraid of public baptism. They're afraid of being in front of all of these people. But it's time to say very clearly, one of the requirements to become a child of God, to have your sins washed away, is not being able to speak in front of a huge crowd. To be a Christian, one must believe in Jesus Christ and one must submit to Jesus Christ in repentance, in confession, in baptism, in all of life. But Jesus never said, in order to be a disciple of mine, you must make your confession in front of a huge throng of people, and your baptism must be done in a very public way, or it doesn't count. If you can't get comfortable speaking in front of 300 people, well, just forget you. I don't want you as my follower. Being comfortable speaking in public is not one of the requirements of the gospel. And that's why we see in the Gospels Jesus talking with people individually and talking with people in huge crowds. And that's why we see in the book of Acts baptisms that were very public. You're looking at Acts 2. How many people were baptized that day? 3,000 people. That's a lot of eyes watching folks being baptized. What about that baptism that we began with in Acts chapter 8? That was Philip and the eunuch. One man, bam. Nobody else saw that. That was a very private baptism. There is no requirement in Scripture that you be baptized in public in front of people. You can do it like the Ethiopian man did it, privately with no one else around. Now, having said that, though, I sure do want to say this. Could you find in your Bible John 9? Look in John 9, verse 22. Because I need to make very clear here that you can be baptized privately, but that doesn't mean you can become a secret Christian. I want to draw a line between those ideas. Look at John 9, 22. The blind man's parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. That's not the fear of public speaking. That's the fear of men's opinion. In John chapter 12, in John chapter 12 and verse 42, many of the authorities believed in Jesus, John 12, 42. But for fear of the Pharisees, they didn't confess it so they would not be put out of the synagogue. They love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. That's an important distinction to make, isn't it? Look again in Matthew with me, in Matthew chapter 10. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 10. Jesus addresses this in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. Everyone, he says, Matthew 10, 32, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I'll acknowledge before my Father who's in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I'll deny before my Father who's in heaven. Now that passage does not say you have to make a big speech in front of a whole big throng of people. But it does say you need to own up to your faith. It's one thing to say I get nervous in front of folks. It's another thing to say if someone asks me, I'm going to deny that I'm a Christian. You become a child of God. You don't have to be a public speaker, but you have to own up to your faith. You have to take your Christianity with you out into public. And if someone asks you, are you a child of God? You have to say, yes, I am a Christian. Somebody says, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. I am a Christian. You're in a group of people and they're doing something wrong. You got to speak up. You got to say, you know what? I can't do this. I won't do this. I am a Christian. I confess Jesus Christ as God's Son. We cannot hide our light under a bushel. But to become a Christian, you don't have to become comfortable addressing huge crowds of people. There's going to be folks who teach, going to be folks who preach, going to be people who can do that. But not everybody could ever do that. What you need to do is put on Christ in baptism. Do that publicly, do that privately, and then go forth to live the life of a Christian. Which leads me to this last objection that I hear all too often. You know, Mark, I do that, but you know, I just don't know enough. I just need to learn more. And I get that. I get some of that because you need to know some things to become a Christian. That baptism we started with in Acts 8, look at Acts 8:35 again. Focus there. Here it says, Acts 8:35, that Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the Scriptures, he told him the good news about Jesus. Philip told him the good news about Jesus because if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to know some stuff about Jesus. That's one of the reasons we don't baptize babies, because you can't teach infants anything. Many problems with infant baptism, but that's a starting place. Can't teach infants about Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice here in Acts 8, and in fact in a lot of places in Acts, what happens when you preach about Jesus Christ? When do people obey the gospel? Right then. Immediately after one sermon. Philip does not say to the Ethiopian man, when he says, what does hinder me from being baptized? I'll tell you what, you need to go to seminary, and you need to get a degree, and you need to understand original languages, and you need to memorize the entire Old Testament. It'd be a good idea if you memorize the New Testament too. No. He tells him about Jesus. This man says, I want to follow Jesus. And Philip says, you can become a follower of Jesus. That's exactly what happens there. One sermon. And that's the pattern in Acts. In Acts 16, would you look at Acts 16 in your Bible? In Acts 16, Paul and Silas are in jail. There's an earthquake. Opens the jail doors. The Philippian jailer knows there's something about these men that's special. And so he asked them, verse 30, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved, you and your household. Spoke the word of the Lord, verse 32, to him and to all who are in his house. Now, verse 33, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. This thinking that somehow in order for me to become a Christian, I have to amass a giant amount of biblical knowledge. I've got to sort through it all. I've got to know it all. I've got to master it all. Now I can become a Christian. You can't get that out of the Bible. What's happened is somehow we've got the order reversed. Remember what Jesus said the order would be in Matthew 28? As Jesus prepares to ascend, he gives the Great Commission. And in Matthew 28, he says, verse 19, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28, 19. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teaching, all that in-depth understanding, comes after baptism, not before. If you know about Jesus Christ, you can become a Christian. Yes, after that, you're going to need more teaching. Going to need to grow. Going to need to grow in grace, grow in knowledge, have a better understanding of what's right, what's wrong, what God expects of you. Certainly you'll need to grow. But if you know that Jesus is God's Son, and you're ready to follow Him, repent of your sins, then you can become a Christian. You don't need to wait to know more. You do know more. You know exactly what people knew in Acts that caused them to become a child of God. You can become a child of God. You can be a Christian. So someone says, what's the holdup? And I am certain that there are a million more excuses that could be manufactured that people have used to avoid baptism. But I want you to look again in Acts 8 where we began. That man did not ask and did not offer that as a way to get out of being baptized. Notice again Acts 8, 36. See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Now verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stop. They went down in the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He wanted to be a follower of Christ. He wanted to go to heaven. He wanted his sins washed away. And he wanted that right now.